Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with the man that needs no introduction, the captain, Jack Berry. Jack, it is good to be with you, my friend. We had a little recording snafu last time, but we're here now. Everything's better. Everything's back to normal. People can sigh deep relief because you don't have to just listen to Josh ramble on solo, right? Last week was the reformatory briefing, is what it was.
The reformatory briefing.
It was. It very much was. Very much was. Yeah. Yeah. They just got Josh's rambling thoughts on stuff. So hopefully it wasn't too bad. But Jack, we are here. We're ready. We're back in the studio, and things are good. How are you, my friend? How are things? I see you've got your college football hat on. You're repping already, dude. Here you go,
dude. So this is a mirage, actually.
Oh, is it?
If you can see it, that is a C and an H, and it says Buckeye Land.
Oh,
it's not an Ohio State. It's a fake okay. out.
They faked you out, dude.
You know how some people are doing the MAGA hats that say "Made you yes. look" on them. this is basically one of them.
That's that version of it.
So I am an Ohio State Buckeyes fan.
Playing dangerous.
Ridicule me all you want for being an Ohio State Buckeyes fan. I do not throw it in people's faces. I honestly, being a Cleveland sports fan, I honestly think that the worst thing is going to happen to any of my teams that I root for. So I'm not too gregarious about it. But this is a hat by a company that I smoked a cigar from called Crown Heads. And they are in Smokey Joe's, which we went to just this last couple of days. And I was shocked. I saw Crown Heads. I'm like, wait, you guys got this? And the tobacconist is like, oh yeah, we're going to try them out. I'm like, what do you mean you're going to try them out? Like, I've been waiting for this brand to come to one of the, you know, the shops for years. Right. So anyway, this was their state series. They made three cigars in the state series. I think three. They had the Texas, I think it was the Yellow Rose of Texas, the Tennessee Waltz, and Buckeye Land.
Nice.
I actually bought a box of Buckeye Land in Cleveland near my dad's house from a good shop. So, fun times. Ohio State beating Texas.
Yeah.
Keeping everybody on their toes about what's going to happen.
So. Yeah. 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 I made the decision this year. I don't know what it was about this year. I think I was just I've just been in the mood for it, but I made the decision this year to try to watch a little bit more football. Like, I played football in high school. I like football. I've never really, like, it hasn't been something that I've, like, got excited about to watch. I'm much more of a wrestling and golf guy. But this year, I don't know. It's just something about the cold weather coming in and football season starting just sounded fun. So I'm going to try to watch some football this year, and We'll see how your Browns do, my friend, because that's always an adventure. Always an adventure.
They're playing Cincinnati, so it's the Civil War episode that always happens, and I'm just like, this is not going to go well. Not going to go well, you guys, unless somehow, some way, Joey Flacco, Flacco fever, comes back and just starts gunslinging.
Right.
He'll probably get two interceptions in that game. That's what I'm predicting right now. And they'll probably lose by at least maybe one or two touchdowns. But
there's a lot you can say about the Browns fans.
Sorry, folks. But I am going to be pessimistic about them and their future.
A lot you can say about Browns fans. What you cannot say is that they are not resilient people. You guys are very, very resilient. Yeah, that's true. But Jack, my friend, it's that time. It's everyone's favorite time for us to jump in to our favorite segment of the podcast. Don't forget to eat your instant grams.
And now's the time you've all been waiting for. The Reformatory Podcast presents Don't Forget to Eat Your Instant Grams with your host, Josh Loftus and Jack Barry. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough.
This is Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagrams. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough. That's how it works. Indeed, indeed. Right? Jack, speaking of football, my friend, speaking of football, all right, as much as I am enjoying football this year and something that I am looking forward to watching, I am still not to the point, Jack, where I am ready for football to become, I would say, viciously integrated with the Lord's Day.
Oh, yeah.
And this is why.
Oh, gosh.
Call it when it lands. Call it in the air. Tails! What I'm kicking. Let's just go with tails. Would you like to kick or receive the Bible?
I will receive.
Okay, let's talk about that. Gosh.
Okay, I finally, hold on. I finally got the context. I finally got the context of this video, and wow, they are actually doing this.
Would you like to kick or receive the Bible?
Negative.
Okay? Because, I mean, you know, if you said kick, you're just going to get like dog walked, right? Like, I can't kick the Bible, but I'll receive the Bible. Okay. This church, for those that are audio only, and remember, you can watch all of, the video version of these is up on YouTube right now. But for our audio only listeners, we have a quote unquote church service in which the pastor is dressed as a referee. And there are people on stage with him dressed in football uniforms. And they did a coin flip to see who would kick or receive the Bible. And when I first saw this, I thought in my head, okay, he's doing a bit. Like, okay, whatever, right? Ain't no way they actually going to kick a Bible. Like, that's not actually something that we're going to do. We're not going to do that in church, right? That feels a little weird. Let's continue.
Tom wins the toss, chooses to receive the Bible. Patterson back with the kick.
They're going to kick the Bible.
they're gonna yeet it, dude.
They're going to kick this Bible. Okay, also, like, this guy's standing dangerously close to each other, right? So this guy, probably a church intern, right? He's got the Bible teed up on the corner, and then you've got this one guy standing maybe 10 yards away, like his arms out. He's ready to hold it. The pastor blows the whistle, and here comes this dude's wife. Oh, I'm assuming is his wife. To kick the Bible.
Oh my goodness! Is that a touchback? Can you even get a touchback?
First time in 18 years there's a touchback.
Okay, someone in the congregation died that day.
Oh yeah. They got
she 100
miles an hour.
She smacked that Bible.
An hour.
She got all of that Bible and kicked it so far. And went hurtling into the Jesus darkness, crackers, which is where the people sit, right? In churches like this. And you know what? How about we don't do that? How about let's not?
Yeah.
Right. Let's not be doing that. Okay. I know you're excited for football. I know you're excited for tailgating. I know you're excited for all these things. Bare minimum, let's keep our excitement quelled to the point to where we're not kicking Bibles. Can we do this?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
right? Let's make this happen. Okay. Jack, I've got one more for you. This one, I don't even know how to, I'll be honest. I don't even know how to intro this one.
Okay.
I'm not going to try. I'm just going to play it for you. And
gosh,
let you
go from
let
there.
Let you and our listeners go from here. Okay. Oh, that's what I'm going to do. Here we go.
And fathers, I was driving here. I noticed for the first time that there's a cat hospital in this town. Lord, our hearts are broken that there's not only sick cats, but so many sick cats in this town that they had to build an entire hospital to treat them. Whatever curse has come against the cats of this area, may it be broken tonight, O Lord. May the cats be healthy and their owners be healthy. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Okay. Amen. My friend Joel would say that is probably the my friend Joel, who's in a small Baptist church.
Yeah.
His brother one time got up there and some old lady's like, pray for my cat. He's like, yeah, we're not praying for that. Next prayer.
I'm not going to do that.
Oh my gosh, a cat hospital. That guy went full deep in on the cat
hospital. I was driving church and I want to know what the thought process was. Like, he's driving to church and he's like, wait, what the heck? Like, where did that, did they just put that up there? Wow. Where did that come from? Like, I gotta say something about this. I'm going to pray. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray for all the cats. All of the sick cats, and we pray that the curse that is affecting the cats in our community. We pray that curse is lifted. Please do a work in the lives of our cats.
Get out of here,
Lord, dude. Please.
Get out of here.
Churches be wild, and man, churches be wild, and that is why we have this segment. So, ladies and gentlemen, for better or for worse, that was Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagrams, and make sure to send us your submissions to this segment, because we love seeing what all the local churches are up to these days. So, Jack, my friend, not as a segue into this topic, but after watching these reels, I am in the right mind frame for this
topic.
True. Right?
It's absolutely true. Yeah.
Okay.
I get what you're putting down right now.
Yeah, exactly. What we're talking about today is, what do we do when we don't feel like going to church? Right? Obviously, this podcast is centered on the local church. It's what we talk about. We talk about our great love for it, our affection for it, our belief that the local church needs to be central in the life of Christ's people, that we center things around the local church. We don't just make the church another compartment, right? In lives that are already very fractured, right? We talk about that a lot.
Yep.
We talk about how important the local church is, right? But Jack and I have also been in the local church long enough to know that, there are times, sometimes seasons of life, where going to church, specifically on the Lord's Day, mm-hmm. is not an experience that's filled with joy, but it's one that's often sometimes painful, sometimes stressful. And sometimes it's neither of those things. We are just in a bad place emotionally or mentally and spiritually. And going to church is hard.
Yeah,
it's hard. It's difficult. It's not enjoyable. It doesn't fulfill in the ways that we're used to, or the ways that it used to, right? And that's a reality, right? And both Jack and I have been in seasons of our life where that has been a reality. For me,
more recently than I'd like to say as well too.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. Like, I mean, and look, let's be real. There are times, like, I'm an elder at my local church. I love my local church. I love all my people. They are a blessing to be a pastor to. It's easily the easiest church that I've had to pastor.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. I love it. There are Sundays where I wake up and I am out of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm grumpy. I don't want to go as my wife says, as Lauren says, I don't want a people today. Right? And I get that.
You are just, especially as a pastor, though, you are human as just about anybody else's as well, too, Josh.
Absolutely. So,
and I think people need to recognize that, like, your pastors are probably going through some junk right now, and they have the same thought process that you might. Yeah. They're not like you. I just want to like get that out of the way, because I feel like a lot of people, especially in the United States of America, we've been so inundated with this. That's the Lord's anointed. Mm-hmm. That is, he's above a pedestal. He's on a pedestal. It's like,
sure.
No, he has been appointed of us, and it's been made known that, but he has the same struggles and goes through the same things that we do, guys.
Yeah, like, no, absolutely.
Our pastor is not Jesus. Our physical pastor is not Jesus. Our over shepherd is Jesus, but the man that Jesus put over us is not him.
Yeah.
Like, he has his faults and inabilities as well, too.
Yeah, exactly. And thank the Lord that we have that over shepherd, right? That although we fail often in our portrayal of him and our representation of him, Jesus never fails, right? This is a whole nother topic, actually, that I think would be really great to talk to, especially if we maybe do a Baptistic distinctives series, which Jack and I really want to do. But something that we say at Redeemer a lot when talking about the pastors is that we are first members. Right. Mm-hmm. That's a huge distinction, especially within Reformed Baptistic understanding of the local church. Your pastors, your elders, are first members of the church. They are members of the church first, that the membership has come together in a unified voice and said, yes, these men are going to be set aside for the purpose of leading the church spiritually. Right. So we is exactly right. Like, pastors are not immune to the things that members are immune to. I'm tired. Pastors are not immune to the things that members go through.
Yeah. Right. There we go.
Fixed it. Right. We all struggle with the same things. And there are times in life where maybe it's just a bad Sunday. Maybe it's a bad couple Sundays. Maybe it's a season of life that you are going through that's really difficult. Where going to the gathering on the Lord's Day, it's hard. It's hard. It's not something that comes easy and naturally like it does in other seasons. It takes discipline to do that, right? Maybe you're in that season right now. Maybe you're finding that that is where you are at. And Jack and I just want to provide some comfort and hopefully some encouragement in how to continue to navigate that with grace and patience. So, Jack, my friend, in good Baptist fashion, you and I came up with a 3-point alliterated structure for this podcast.
Yep, right? Pretty much.
Because that's what we do. That's how it works. That's how it works here, right? So, Jack, we're going to go through those right now. And the first one that we came up with is when you are not feeling like doing church, when you're not feeling like doing people today, right? The first thing that we should go to as Christians, that we should take advantage of, is our access to the ear of our Heavenly Father. When you don't feel like doing what you know is true and good, because very often in this Christian life, what we know and what we feel are at odds. That's just true. And when you don't feel like doing what you know you should, the first thing that we should be doing as Christians, which is often the last thing that we do, is pray. Bathe it in prayer. Right? And Jack, I don't know about you, but prayer for me is something that I am constantly having to remind myself to make a priority in my life when I'm going through hard stuff. It's often not the first thing that I go to, and it requires a lot of discipline for me to remind myself, like, no, like, make prayer a priority. Let's go to prayer first. I don't know if you can relate to that.
No, it's very true. Yeah. I think that probably when the worst things happen in your life, I absolutely, like, the first thing is like, I try and go to the Lord in prayer. I mean, let's be honest. When I got arrested a couple months ago, that's probably the the number one thing that was going through my mind.
Sure.
When I would get, even just like going through that process, like either I'm whispering a prayer or praying in some sort of form or fashion. But yeah, mm-hmm. that, and what prayer is doing as well too, it is trying to goad your heart and your desires and your eyes to fix back on Jesus, really.
Yes. Yes.
And all that he's done and all that he's promised and all that he's went through.
Yeah.
And refocus yourself and turn your eyes upon him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what prayer is really doing. I mean, prayer is this constant conversation and stuff like that. And that's how we have access to the throne of grace, as Josh and I might say. But yeah, I think prayer is the first thing, because that is a place that you want to lay your burdens down at, is at Jesus's throne.
Right.
You want to go before him and basically say, this is what I'm going through, Lord. I don't know what it is. I don't know why. I need your help.
Right.
Yeah. The easiest prayer is, I need your help, Lord.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes. So.
Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes that's all you can get out, and that's okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Because that's honest and that's real.
Yeah.
Right. But I think we need to remember that we have direct access to the Almighty. Mm-hmm. We have such an advocate in Christ that is the great physician, not just of the body, but of the heart, of the mind, of the soul, of our emotions. There's nothing wrong with praying to the Lord. Lord, please bring my feelings, my emotions in line with your will, in line with your will for my life. And I know your will for my life is that I would press into the local church, that I would see, that I would desire it, that I would love it, that I would find it beautiful, and it's where I would go when I'm feeling this way. Lord, please do a work in my heart, do a work in my mind, heal these things that I'm going through, and bring my emotions in line with what I know is right and what I know is good. That's a very good prayer to pray, and it's one that we don't often pray because we get distracted easy, and we're often trying to either remedy the situation ourselves or seek other forms of comfort. And there's other things that we're going to talk about that we should do, as well. We're not just saying, if you just pray more, everything will get better. We know that's not true. But prayer is a very necessary and needed spiritual discipline that we often forget to utilize. And there's great power in it. I do believe that, right? So prayer is the first one, right, Jack? After we've bathed it in prayer, maybe we're feeling a little better. Like maybe it's taken the twinge off, right? Maybe it hasn't. What do we do next?
Yeah, I would say the next thing to do is just press into that.
Press in.
Start to press into really your. I think some things that we can do is start to press into, and I think the question that most people ask: press into what? I think press into promises that the Lord's given to us.
I love that.
Press into the things that God has said that are good. Mm. So when you don't want to go to, when you don't want to go to the Lord's Day service, right? You're just not having it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you need to press into that emotion. Why do I feel this way?
Yep.
Yep. Why?
Speak truth into it, man.
Yeah. Why am I? Sometimes you have to just take out the gospel flamethrower and just go at it, dude.
Absolutely.
So sometimes you have to press into your emotions. Sometimes you have to press into your thoughts. Sometimes you have to press into your reluctance. Why am I reluctant to do this? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to press into your angst or anxiety about what's going to happen. What we mean by that is basically you're trying to question why it is that you think that the Lord's Day is not there to help you in your Christian walk.
Yeah.
Why do you think the Lord's Day is somehow, some way a stumbling block or a place in which, I mean, this is a common thing too, especially with veterans. If you're around other people, it'll give you anxiety sometimes, especially if you don't know what you're going into. But if you've been there already before, you know what you're getting into.
Right.
It's the fact that something has hit you in the past or that week or that day before that you're reluctant to be vulnerable to people in your congregation because of that.
Sure.
Or you have to explain.
Yeah.
You get hit with one of these, hey, how'd your week go?
Right.
And for me, it's like, I'm not lying to you. Like, got thrown in Pierce County Jail. How do you think it's going?
Yeah, it's not great.
Not great. So you have to press. Sometimes you have to be. You're going to have to deal with that. And yes. are you going to press into being brave about that, to being honest, to being vulnerable, or are you going to retreat into? Well, I'm just not going to do this.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and I love what you said at the top. Press into the promises. Mm. Right. And that dovetails and coincides with the importance of prayer so much is because a huge part of how we pray should be confessing truth.
Yeah.
It should be confessing what is true.
Yeah.
Right. And when we cover our pain or our bad feelings, our bad attitude, right, whatever it is, when we cover that in prayer, what we should also be doing is reminding ourselves what is true in Christ, what is true in the gospel, who am I in Christ, what have I been given in Christ, what am I provided in the gospel, and saturate your mind with those truths, right? Because often our feelings, again, they are often at odds with what we know is true. So how do we overcome those bad feelings? A large part of that starts in the mind. Mm-hmm. It starts in what are we feeding ourselves? Are we feeding ourselves things that just pour gasoline on the already bad feelings that we have? Or are we reminding ourselves of what is true? Am I reminding myself of who Jesus is, what he has done for me, and why those things result in a love for the local church that I should be having, right? Should be striving for. And it's not in a means of like of trying to guilt yourself into it, right? It's like, well, like, of course I need to be doing this because look at everything that I've been given. Like, I have to just guilt myself into it. Like, that's not the motivation. Mm-hmm. The motivation is, like, I'm out of sorts right now. So I'm going to remind myself of what is true, what is right, and that's what I'm going to choose to dwell on. I'm not going to choose to continue to dwell on the feelings that I don't like, right, or they're making me feel bad. I'm going to choose to dwell on what is good, what is right, what is beautiful, right? That's a very biblical concept. So our thoughts often dictate our feelings, but what's also true is that your feelings can also dictate your thoughts. And when that is the case, you have to make sure that your thinking overcomes the feelings and that you're filling your mind with what is true so that your feelings can follow suit. Now, it doesn't happen right away. Sometimes it takes some time, but that's where that trust and that discipline comes in, and trusting the Lord in that, right? So when I'm not feeling like going to church, I cover it in prayer. I press into the promises of who Christ is and what he has done for me. Jack, what is the third and final one?
Before I get to the third and final one, I just want to
read bonus.
I just want to read a scripture that that is true of us in what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So and this is true. So Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going into verse 3 and then to the end of 5. So he says, "For although we live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. Mm. Since the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds, we demolish arguments and every proud thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ." Hmm. So those things are important when we talk about pressing in.
Yeah.
We need to, when those counter arguments come up in your mind, sometimes, I'm not going to lie, sometimes that could be a spiritual warfare moment. Like,
absolutely.
Let's not be naive about the fact that we live in a world that part of that realm is unseen. And part of it is going to be a spiritual warfare battle. So you mm-hmm. might have to take these thoughts captive, so to say. And like I said, press into that. But the final thing I would say to this is prioritize. And I think this is okay. So I think Josh and I would agree that we prioritize the local church every Sunday, right?
Yes.
But in order to do that, you sometimes have to prioritize a time in which you might have to prepare for that Lord's Day.
Yes.
So if this, if your thoughts and if what you went through may have come up, you might have to prioritize a time Saturday night
mm-hmm.
where it's a night in which you have to preach the gospel to yourself.
Yeah.
In order to prepare for this assembly of believers.
Mm-hmm.
You might have to prioritize certain scriptures in order for you to walk into that with more awareness and more of the, what Paul says, of the weapons of warfare to demolish the strongholds.
Right.
You might have to pray and prioritize prayer and reading of the word and even praying maybe as a family together
mm-hmm.
that you may walk in the light. I'm using John's language, walk in the light, not in the darkness,
yes.
right?
Yes.
So you might have to prioritize those things the night before the Lord's Day comes. You might have to prioritize the fact that you just have to get everything ready to go.
Right.
Like you might have to lay your clothes out in another room. You might have to do everything that way.
Yep.
So that, and you might have to prioritize being vulnerable with your family, your wife and your kids, of at least hopefully your kids understand this maybe, of saying what's happening to you and how you need strength.
Right.
So you have to, we would say that you're prioritizing your the way in which you want to go and be with God's people on the Lord's Day, but you have to prioritize other things before that thing comes to pass.
Right.
So,
yeah. Cause you can't do that. You can't do that in your own strength.
Yeah.
Right. And that's where prayer and pressing into the promises, give you the tools and the ammo, if you will, to be able to prepare yourself well and to prioritize the preparation for the Lord's Day, right? The Saturday night Lord's Day prep is an underrated event, right? A lot of people don't think through it, right?
Yeah.
But Saturday night is a great time to prioritize preparing your heart for the Lord's Day. Now, what does that look like? Well, that often looks like a few things. You read the passage. Read the passage and meditate on the passage that's going to be preached the next morning, right? If you don't know what that passage is, you should probably pay attention more. No. Look in your bulletin, right? It means you're probably not listening on Sunday morning. No, maybe text one of the other members or text your pastor and say, hey, I'm praying for you. What verses are we covering tomorrow, right? So prioritize your prep Saturday night, read the passage, right? Pray for your pastors and pray for your members, right? And utilize that time to pray for yourself as well. Like Jack is saying, Lord, prepare my heart, prepare my mind to receive the good word, to receive the means of grace tomorrow. And remember, they are a means of grace. They are not a means of law, right? They are not calling you to further striving. They are calling you to rest and trust in the means of grace that God has provided for you, right? So prepare your heart for those things, right? And take some time just to be in the word, to quiet the mind, right? Don't blast, maybe a TV show or a movie up until midnight and then wake up super ragged, right? Right? We want to be smart, even in the practical things. If you know, like, my heart's not going to be in a good place tomorrow, well, maybe let's try to get to bed a little early. Right. So at least we know we're moving into tomorrow with a full tank. Right. Let's end the night with some prayer. Let's end the night with some scripture reading. Let's end the night dwelling on the good promises of who God is. That's a great way to prioritize that preparation. Right. The last thing that I would say is what we prioritize, and this might be the obvious one, we prioritize the local church.
We prioritize the people, right? We prioritize getting outside of ourselves and focusing on the people that God has called us to love and care for, right? One of the greatest antidotes to someone that might be struggling with maybe a little bit of self-focusedness, maybe feeling down in the dumps, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe a little woe is me, right? Someone who's struggling with kind of, you know, being in their feelings a little bit. One of the greatest antidotes to that is loving and serving and investing in your brothers and sisters in the church, right? The Lord's going to use those people. He's going to use those things to bring healing to those feelings, to bring healing to that heart, right? And he's going to use his people and his word equipped through the Holy Spirit to do all those things. So that's something that we should seek to still do. And when you're in that season, it might look a little different, but that's okay. Prioritize, still don't pull back, don't shrink back from the thing that you're struggling with. Press in and prioritize loving and serving the people that are in your church so that you have those brothers and sisters that can come alongside you through that season and walk with you through it. Don't suffer in silence. Bring people into how you're feeling. Bring people into that reality. Let them in on it. Tell your pastors, tell your members, say, hey, I am in a season right now where for one reason or another, the local church is hard. I am struggling with being here on the Lord's Day. I'm struggling with relationships. I'm struggling with, you know, A, B, and C. Let people speak into that.
Yep.
Let people come alongside you, people that you trust. Let people sit with you in that and walk with you through it. Don't walk through it alone, right? Right? Because you can, like, prayer is vital and it's good. It should be the first thing that we do. Pressing into the promises is good, and it's what we should be doing. Prioritizing preparation, right, is really good. But if you're doing all of that strictly on your own and you aren't living in community or utilizing and pressing into community, it's not going to do very much good.
Yeah.
Because you're neglecting one of the main things that the Lord works through, and that's his people. So press into those things and trust the Lord in the process, because we all go through it. All right. I know it can be discouraging. I know it can be frustrating, but understand you're not alone. There's probably, and this is the last thing that I'll say, and Jack, you can close us with some thoughts or just close the ep out, whatever you want.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that you are not the only one there that feels the way that you do.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that there are people sitting in the pew to your left, to your right, might be the people leading music. It might be the people ushering, serving communion. It might be the pastor himself preaching the word of God that does not feel like being there, but they are there anyway. Yep. And that is encouraging to know. Yep. That we are prioritizing each other over our feelings, over our frustration. And that's a really, really great and beneficial thing. So that's how I'll close that.
Yeah. Now I got no other things other than what I said. So
right on.
Okay. Yeah. Appreciate your words, and
you as well.
People, if you appreciate kind of what we do here on the Reformatory, making the local church central to the believer's life, even when you don't want to make the local church central to your life, you can follow us on the sociables, if you will. You can send us a direct message, comment, question, concern, episode idea, Q&A, anything. I know Josh was putting up some questions that y'all might have.
Hit us up with those.
Feel free to do those on the various different sociable platforms, like the metaverse, the Facebook, if you will, the Instagram, like we talked about, goes well with chocolate and marshmallow, or the sociable formerly known as Twitter X, if you will. All of our sociable platforms are at the tag at Reformatory Pod, And Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might support us in our further endeavors.
That's right. Well, like we said earlier in the app, if you want to watch this episode as well as listen to it, you can head on over to YouTube and search for the Reformatory Podcast. Like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. We appreciate that. You can rate this podcast and review this podcast on Apple and Spotify. That helps get the podcast out to more like-minded people so that they, too, can be encouraged in making the local church central in their life. Last but not least, we have a Patreon. And I know it's pumpkin spice latte season, and I know it's super. They got that new flavor, that pecan cordado or whatever it is. I don't know. I'm not a coffee guy. But if you happen to have a spare $5 a month, and you can go without one pumpkin spice latte a month, right? Just cut your PSL down by one. Just minus it by one. You could come on over to the Reformatory, and we have bonus ups there. You get this episode early. They have a new live feature where we can go live with our patrons and talk to you guys and see what's going on. And if you choose to do so and you pledge to us $5 a month, and you get all of those benefits.
$5 holla.
$5 holla, man. You too could become a supporter of the Reformatory, and our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. And we thank all of you for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.